Okay, so a little different today. A lot of times I ask you a question when we start these episodes, Jeremy, but I'm just going to make a statement and then we're going to go off. So golf is not unique in this sense, but it is full of unwritten rules, right? There are just all kinds of unwritten rules in golf. I don't know how anybody even learns all of them when they start playing, but there's some good ones, which we're going to talk about, but there's a lot of really kind of borderline ones that maybe we don't all agree on them being necessary. So today's episode of Splitting Fairways is going to be called What is the Dumbest Unwritten Rule in Golf?
Oh.
So let's dive right in. This is Splitting Fairways.
Real golfers, real opinions. I'm Jeremy.
And I am Hawk. And let's get into it. So, you know, golf has always been steeped in tradition, right? I mean, it's truly it, sometimes I kind of think it parallels baseball in some ways, which, by the way, another game that has a ton of unwritten rules.
Oh, for sure.
Big difference is if you break an unwritten rule in baseball, like you're liable to get baseball thrown at your head, whereas in golf, just some old guy in long socks is gonna talk smack about you to his friends, so that's nice at least. But you know, a lot of the rules are based, you know, just on kind of being courteous, being polite, that type of thing. Others to protect the course. You know, I suppose that in a lot of ways they're important. But some things, you know, over time, I think things that outwardly to other people that aren't in golf are kind of ridiculous, have sort of become, I hate this word, by the way, normalized. It's like a communist word, normalized. Accepted. Accepted.
Accepted, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about unwritten rules?
I guess I'm kind of a fan of them because I grew up around the game. And some level, I think we just expect other people to know what they are, and it gets kind of frustrating when they don't.
Where did all these unwritten rules come from? You know, is there just some like committee of old, like uptight guys that just try to make
Probably
games?
somewhere that's who started it. Yeah. I
Yeah.
feel like they get passed down, like, from generation to generation somehow, or I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. You know, and we say this, we've said this before in other episodes, golf is a shared experience, right? Like we're
Yeah.
sharing kind of a the same location and same course with all kinds of different people. So some of those rules, I guess, are there to kind of make that experience a little bit smoother. But you know, if it's not in the rules of golf, though, like who really gets to decide what's acceptable? I think that, you know, at some level, the course ownership or the club, you know, they do get to decide. But if it's not in their rules, I don't know.
Well, I mean, first of all, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Very few people actually know the rules of golf, or do they play by them?
That's true.
second of all, everything is not what, it's not based on TV or whatever. It's stuff that is just kind of common sense, and sometimes people just lack that, I think.
Yeah, man. I've seen some stuff this year. Well, let's jump into like just start hammering out some of these interesting unwritten rules that we kind of gathered. And we'll comment them and see if we agree or not. First, kind of let's talk apparel, just the whole clothing side of things. So, big one, and this one actually really gets people, it got people really triggered on social media. But
Yes.
taking your hat off indoors at the clubhouse of a club or golf course,
Yes.
so
That
yeah,
triggers people.
respectful, yeah.
I don't know why. Why does that trigger people so much?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. By the time I get done playing around a golf, typically I want to take off my hat anyway, right?
Yes, especially if
Like
it's
my
hot outside. I mean, I take mine off in between shots. Like, it's
yeah.
hot. Why do you want to
Yeah.
wear it when you're indoors? I don't get that.
I don't either. At the same time, let's put it this way. We go to some kind of high-end clubs pretty regularly, you and
Yep.
I, and they do have, not all of them, but some of them have, you know, rules about about hats in the clubhouse. If I see that or it's just sort of known, I'm going to take it off. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to even mention it to anybody. I was thinking about at my club, though. I don't take my hat off when I go in the club. No.
I'm sure a lot of public courses people don't either. But then again, a lot of people don't even go in the clubhouse other than to pay. So,
yeah, typically I'll go into the clubhouse, like check in sometimes. Sometimes I just go to the first tee. But if I go into the actual clubhouse or the pro shop, no, I'm not going to take off my hat there.
I was just going to ask you, does the pro shop count as a clubhouse or is it only the dining area?
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
I will say my club, it's always been a little bit of they described it, you know, kind of as the blue collar club at one point in time. It's not a super uptight place, which is probably why I fit in. But I don't really care either way on that one. I'll do what people want, but I don't think it's that important.
I think it's an older rule that probably could be changed. It's not necessarily hurting anybody, but it's just one of those things that I've always done too. So
I get it.
All right. Where do you stand on shirts being tucked in?
Okay.
I mean, it's a thing, right? And it all depends on where you play, right? I think. And what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. A nice place. I would think everybody should have their shirt tucked in. It also, I think, kind of depends on your sense of style and just, I hate to say it, but you know, like your body type. Like for some people, a tucked in shirt looks, or an untucked shirt looks, you know, good. Other people, it just looks not good.
You can hide the dad bod gut a little bit if you leave it untucked.
I think that's what people think, but I think it actually makes it worse.
It can depending on the shirt for sure.
Yeah. I will say I see more awful outfits than I see good golf outfits on a weekly basis. And a lot of times I'm looking at people with untucked shirts as, you know, the ones that are not looking good. In my opinion, tuck the shirt in. Unless you're like feeling super bro-y that day, and that's fine. We all feel a little bro-y some days, right?
Yeah, guilty. Sure. Yeah. It also depends real quick on the length of the shirt as well. Like if it's really long, probably need to tuck that thing in, you know? So, it's going to affect your golf swing also.
Yeah, I agree. And kind of that look that it's like a really stuffed like hot dog bun, and then like it gets smaller because like it's always the big gut and then the small, you know, like the Hank Hill butt, you know.
Ugh, yep, nasty. Always.
Another changing shoes in the parking lot, which is really like golf culture at high-end places. That is like, you know, kind of like the sign whether you're trash or not.
Really?
Yeah, you know, there's like this YouTube guy now, or he's social media guy, like, and he talks really nice and soft and talks about elevated experiences, and like that's the kind of guy that I think about, like, you know, definitely is anti shoes in the parking lot. Personally, I just wear my shoes to the golf course, but I'm not gonna like take them inside and put them on.
Spikeless shoes allow you that ability to do that, right? More so than ever. I really think that's another, like, an old rule that was probably put in place when there was actual spikes. The metal spikes, you know, walking around. But I just don't see that as a big deal. I don't know. I don't even understand why that's a big deal.
And are we allowed to take our golf bags out of the trunk too? Or is there like,
I think there's places that probably want you to use the bag drop, honestly. Yeah, and that's something I almost never do. Unless I am at a fancy course, you know, a higher end course, and
that do you I am feel required like to do so, awkward when you like turn it down, like you're just such a cheap ass?
It does make you feel that way. I think people get that way when the guys want to clean your clubs after the round too. To be honest with you,
get away from me.
I don't want to give you $5. My clubs are fine. You know?
Nobody has cash anyway these days.
That's very true. But if you do let them do it and you don't have cash, then you feel even more awkward. It's not like you can ask the guy, like, hey, what's your Venmo?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what they need to start doing, though. It'd probably be a little bit more effective. Possibly. I will also say this, like there's a number of places that kind of have the whole locker room experience as part of the golf experience.
Sure.
I mean, they have a locker room at my club. I just walk through it to get to the bar. I've never actually used it for any sort of like dressing or anything like that. So, I will put on my shoes wherever I want, period. All right. Next. Last one on dress code.
All right, here's a good one. Yeah. But kind of, I don't know how relevant it really is. But why does denim still trigger such a strong reaction with people when it comes to golf?
You know, you don't see that as much anymore. Like 15 years ago, there was still quite a bit of denim, like on, you know, like city courses, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's where I would typically see it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to see it at a country club, that's for sure. But
imagine the feeling, like say it's like even like 65, 70 degrees.
Ugh.
The feeling of your body in a pair of jeans walking around a golf course.
If you saw somebody on a golf course in a pair of jeans, could you take them seriously as a golfer?
Yes, if it was like December or November. You know, I think bets are off when like it starts to get really cold. Still get it, you know.
They do make nicer warm clothes for golf too, for that. Dude, too, so you don't have to wear jeans.
I got some, they're like lined pants. They're awesome. Yeah. I agree. And I think like if there was ever going to be an excuse for it, it'd be that, you know, jeans kind of cut the wind a little bit. But again, it just seems like very much anti-athletic to be wearing jeans.
It just makes me laugh every time I think about this particular thing, because years ago, used to play some like beer league softball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always some person out there wearing jeans. And a good friend of mine at the time was like, this guy's got jeans on. We can't take this guy seriously.
He's got the bat around his shoulders, just right. Rocking the jeans. Oh, yeah. Man.
So if someone's wearing him on a golf course, I'm like, he's not a real golfer. He's just there golfing, right?
Yeah, yeah. You just don't see it as much anymore.
No.
I nowadays you probably see the opposite, where like things are like too short or too sheer more than anything. All right, let's get into equipment, because of course there's a lot of unwritten rules on equipment.
Sure.
We run into this all the time on the THP forum.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we sure do. And we could do probably a dozen of these easily. We took probably the top three that trigger people the most. But first one is, you know, is the 14-way bag functional organization, or is it like a sign that you have a character flaw or just really bad at golf? What do you think?
Oh gosh. To me, it's not a sign that you're bad at golf. Let's put it that way. There's lots of guys that like the 14-way bag. That guy is a guy who rides only. He never walks. He likes his clubs organized. He doesn't like things touching. Like maybe he's a little OCD. I don't know. I don't think it necessarily means you're bad at golf, because I know some good golfers who use them. But for me, I don't know why anyone would want this heavy ass bag with all these pockets. We're not on tour. We don't have somebody else carrying it for us. It's even heavy carrying it to the course from your trunk. Yeah. You know, like, what are we doing?
I gotta make an admission. I've been using a 14-way bag for a while. I reviewed one, right? It's a Caddy Daddy has RevCore bags, and they came out with this new. Here's the thing. First of all, this bag has two magnetic pockets in the front, and I walk most of my rounds using an electric cart, right? Like an electric push cart.
Yeah.
And I love that for like just quick grabbing like my rangefinder, stuff like that. It's big, but like it doesn't matter to me, because that thing, you know, it's getting carried around on the e-cart.
Sorry, you know? I was gonna say, I could see a case for when you use a push cart or a motorized cart, like you said, the extra storage would be nice. You're not carrying it. You, if you get stuck, you know, in a long round, you can have all extra kinds of stuff in there. I guess. I can
also see, like, those bags sit at an angle, right? And when you get a smaller top on a bag, they can get, everything can just get kind of tough to access. Now, that being said, I am a little self-conscious about it, I'm not going to lie. But I really love the bag, and, you know, it's just, I'm going to deal with the 14 way. Actually, this, it actually is a 15 way. It has 15 dividers. Yeah. And a
bonus club
and like a putter. Well, it's, yeah. But here's the thing. I am bad at golf pretty much. So like maybe I in the right bag. All right. Let's see. You got one for me here?
Oh, boy. All right. How many head covers do you have in your bag?
Ooh.
And I'll let you answer that before I go on.
Does putter count?
No.
Okay. All right. Oh, wow. Okay. So right now, 5. So 5 of 13 clubs are head covers. Driver, I've got a 3-wood or a mini, depends. 7-wood and then a couple hybrids right now. That's a lot of head covers.
Is too many head covers a sign that you're bad at golf also?
Yes, of course it is. My God. Or old, right?
Or old, yeah.
Yeah. You need our friend Danny Lee, you know, he's a low single digit, hovers around scratch, and I believe he's playing up to like a 6 hybrid now. So
yeah, I think that's correct. Do you keep them covered all the time, or are you a guy that like takes your driver cover off and let it breathe throughout the round?
I find that so offensive that people do that.
It's disturbing to me. It bothers me so much. Like,
yeah.
I tried it one time because people, like, I was in a group of 3 guys who had it all off. They just pull it out and like, why do you cover your thing every time? Why do you cover your driver every time? And I was like, because I like it to be protected. And they're like, who cares? And I was like, nope. I tried it once. I pulled an iron out without, you know,
yeah,
and I dinged the top of the driver, yes, and I was like, nope, done, never doing it again.
That happened to me today because my partner during the club championship, he was rocking the driver sans head cover, and I pulled out an iron and dinged his driver. And, you know, no, that's foolish. Now, it is up to the companies to make a decent head cover, because some of them are so hard to get on and off, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know I got a lot of head covers, but I got to tell you, like, that 5 hybrid, I really like that. And I mean, it's that or carry an extra wedge, whatever.
Yeah.
How about the heavyweight champion of offensive equipment choices, the iron covers? What are your thoughts on iron covers?
Oh my God. Iron covers should not be a thing ever. Like, I don't even know where that, where did that come from? Like, who thought that was a good idea?
And they're like, that they're always like neoprene or some weird.
They're really weird. They, back in, I remember them when I was a kid, they used to be like rubberized. Oh. Like, and they used to have like a little hole in the end. There was a string that would go through to keep them all together from falling off. And I honestly, like, I'm like, what are we doing? The clubs are, first of all, they're made of steel typically, yes, right? And they're just bouncing around in your bag. That's a beautiful sound to hear when you're walking down the fairway or with it in your cart.
You bash them into the ground.
Yeah, I don't understand the need to feel like to protect them or for them to be quiet. To me, that's kind of weird.
So I actually played with a guy. It was a threesome. Our group was a threesome. Today at the club, and this guy was in his own cart, but he had a full set of iron covers. They were neoprene, black neoprene, and they had like bright, like neon orange, like highlights on them. And then he had a putter. I don't even know how to describe it. Okay, it was like this is the head of the putter, and then the shaft was behind it, and it leaned like way forward. And it like was like kind of like shaped like a shovel. I had never seen anything like it. Used a one of the most offensive looking golf balls ever.
Of course,
beat me. So oh, whatever, you know.
Was his name Tin Cup?
It's just it's not Ryan. That's all you had to do to beat me today.
The other thing about real quick about those things, if you lose one, then what do you do?
Yeah, yeah. And I to me, the iron cover guy is not the kind of guy that's going to lose an iron cover, though. You know?
That's probably true.
Like, he's all over the status of his iron covers at all times. All right, we're going to, these are fun, and gosh, we could make this an hour, but let's do some on-course unwritten rules. Some of these are kind of the ones that I was talking about. Like, they get a little bit odd, and yeah, that's about all I'm going to say. So let's just dive in. Honors off the tee, you know, tradition versus ready golf. Your thoughts?
I'm all about the ready golf. I always, every week, someone asks, like, do we care about this? I'm like, nope, if you're ready, go ahead. Sometimes you got to do something in the cart or in the bag. Someone else is ready, go ahead and hit.
Yeah.
I will say there is one exception to that, and I do think in match play, if you're in a serious match, I do think that should be a thing.
Absolutely. I would agree with that, too, because, you know, there's a distinct advantage to not going first, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there really is. And even, you know, like in a straight stroke play competition, like, if, you know, it's for something that really matters, there's an advantage of, you know.
The only advantage to going first is if you actually hit a good shot, right?
Yeah, especially
in like a par three, right? Yeah. If club selection based on wind or whatever, I mean, obviously they're not going to ask you what you hit, but yeah, it is a thing. If you see them hit a club that comes up short, you're like, oh, maybe I need to take an extra club.
Yeah, on the putting green, though, I mean, it's like, you know,
putting, I don't care.
Our thing this weekend was, you know, we had to hole out everything, even six inchers, you know what I mean? So, like, there was no need to worry about that there.
No begging for gimmies.
No, there was no begging going on at all. I would have loved to have some, but honors off the tee. I play alone a lot, and I will often accidentally just jump up on the tee and hit when somebody makes a birdie, and then I feel like an idiot. But I just,
most people don't. I don't think most people care these days.
I hope not.
If they do, too bad.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next.
How do you feel about other people talking to your golf ball while it's in the air?
Okay. Let's hear about that. I think is one of the stupidest things to ever complain about. To me, this is a sign that you either are posturing in some way or just have like some sort of mental issues.
It's,
like, it's okay if somebody roots for your ball not to hit like a tree or whatever. You know what I mean? We want our playing partners to do well. You know?
But have you looked at it this way? It's a built-in excuse for you hitting a bad shot, because then you can say to the guy, don't talk to my golf ball.
How many times is he planning on talking to the golf ball during this round? Because today, 48 times would have been 48 bad shots. Yeah, I think it's dumb. I think I regularly talk to everybody's golf ball. You know, like I want the best results for guys. I also sometimes, I do know when to shut up, though. Like, if somebody's like having a bad day, you're not,
you can
do
tell
anything. You just kind of look, pretend like you weren't even watching, you know what I mean?
Just put your head down and walk away. Like, whoop.
Yeah, nope. Exactly.
Didn't see that.
What do you care if people talk to your golf ball?
No, not really. It is what it is. But like I said, you do have the built-in excuse. And I have told my playing partner, who is my partner every week in league, you know, like, don't talk to my golf ball. You don't even know what you're doing.
Ooh. How about, well, this is kind of the same, similar thing, but like, you know, calling a putt before it actually drops.
Okay. That one.
Yeah.
That one, I think, should not, just don't say anything. Just wait. Just wait, because people believe that they are jinxes, because it is a thing. I have seen way too many putts not go in when someone says, oh, nice putt, or that's good, or it lips out. Like, it's just, just don't do it. Just don't talk to it.
Yeah. And I don't, I mean, the idea that it somehow impacts whether the putt goes in or not. If you believe that, again, questioning your just a lot about your mental state as a human, but at the same time, it's a surefire way to just like kind of ruin, make a bad moment worse, you know, and nobody needs that. I think we've all done it though. We've all done it. Yeah.
I mean, when it looks like it's going dead end, it's hard not to, yeah. Right? But I just, over the years, it's happened so many times, I just try not to say anything at all.
Yeah. I put up a reel last year. It was a chip in. I was like, sure, the second it came off the face that it was going in the hole. Mm-hmm. And I early called it, and then it didn't go. So, whatever. Yeah. But you look so cool when you early call it, though.
You annoyed the golf gods.
Yeah, sure. All right. One more from off the course or on the course, and then we'll move on.
All right. How do you feel about dropping the flag stick on the green? Because this is something that I've heard, and we actually saw something interesting last weekend and around as well.
Yeah, we did. You definitely talk about that in a second. So I actually try not to drop the flag on the green. I don't know why, really. It's the same reason I wouldn't like drop my club from hip high down onto the ground. You know, I mean, you see like how easy it is just to leave an indentation in the green.
Sure.
It doesn't hurt the flag, obviously, but I typically try to just set it down. You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm not like getting down on my knees to guide it, but yeah.
So last week we played at a golf course called Trapper's Turn in Wisconsin Dells, and one of the holes they had an American flag was the flag on the hole, and then they had a little stand on the back for you to rest it on because obviously, as everyone knows, you don't let the American flag touch the ground.
Right.
My question is though, if there was one of those stands on every green, do you think people would actually use it?
Probably not, just because of the distance, right?
Yeah.
Like if it was like. I guess though, if they were smart, they could put it kind of as close as possible to the flag on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
I don't know though. You put stuff up around the green, you're definitely
acting for a deflection.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't see it as that big a deal, other than obviously the American flag one. But for a regular golf course flag, I mean, I'm not dropping it from hip high, like you said. I'll lower it down and then eventually lay it on the ground. And a lot of times if I'm already done, I'll pick it up and hold it while other people are finishing.
Another thing I feel weird about, like I like pick it up like really quietly, you know, because I don't want to like ruin their putting routine. Sure. And then I'm like, am I picking it up too quick, making them feel like I'm brushing them?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Again, maybe we revisit this topic. If you're listening and you got like some stupid unwritten rules that are running through your mind, leave them in the forum thread on the THP forum. Let us know, YouTube comments, whatever.
Yep.
Maybe we do this again and talk about more because there's so many. But there are good unwritten rules, right?
Yep.
And hell, somebody out there probably thinks every one that we talked about is good already, but ones that really are useful, right? So things like repairing your pitch marks, raking the bunkers, pace of play, you know, can you think any?
We need to do a whole episode on pace of play, I can tell you that.
Didn't we already do one? Have we?
I don't know.
I feel like we have. I don't know. 5 hour round yesterday, by the way.
Yeah. It's just be ready when it's your turn to play. Like, you know, respect other people's space. Don't stand up close to them. Be quiet when they're hitting. And for crying out loud, do not damage the course intentionally. Yeah. You know,
somebody buried a putter in the green.
Oh my God.
Like a putter hit on the 14th green, which is really one of the easiest greens to putt on. Maybe that's why they did it, but come on.
But come on, man. You can't do that. Like
paying thousands of dollars to play at a place and then willing to destroy it. But you know, I think though that the kind of the common thread with a lot of these is that it's protecting the course. It's protecting sometimes people, maybe making it easier for people to do well, like not making big spike marks right in somebody's line, their golf ball. Though that's another one.
Yeah.
usually don't care about that much. We did have a heavy foot guy, you know, in our group today, and he even commented, and he's like, "Yeah, I rip greens up, so I'm trying to be really careful not to get
pick up your feet, bro."
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. So let's go through. I love the lightning round. It's one of my favorite things. Let's just go back and forth. We've got a list of quick things that we'll just say yes or no or whatever. Okay. Anyway, so hat indoors, acceptable or unacceptable?
It depends. Is that okay? No, I gotta say yes or no. I'll say unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Okay. I will say acceptable, except I'm going to qualify it with I'll follow whatever the rules are. All right.
Your turn. Fair enough. Okay. Untucked shirt.
Fine. I'm not going to make too big. I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but
yeah, you look like a slob, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. denim, yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
All right. How about the changing of the shoes in the parking lot?
Yes. I'm going to change my socks in the parking lot if I want to. It's the parking lot.
It's my car. It's my car and it's a parking lot. I'll do what I want.
I've changed my pants like into shorts in the parking lot. Come on.
Yes.
You know, actually, didn't we do that just last week?
I think we did.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Whatever. Iron covers, yes or no?
No, absolutely not. They belong in the trash.
No. I agree.
14-way bag, obviously, you're a
no,
yes.
No, terrible. Yeah, I mean, right now, yes, I can't lie.
Over under age bracket for a 14-way bag?
Well, apparently, over 46.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, 7 or more head covers and not counting putter.
Unacceptable, unless you're 60 years old.
Unless you're old. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what I would need. That means I would have to have a six and a 7 hybrid as well to get myself up to 7.
That's too many.
Yeah, it's too many.
Yeah.
No, actually, yeah, it's too many, but there's going to be a day.
I think 6 though, like at some point you got to have irons in the bag, right?
Yeah.
I think 6 maybe. Is okay. 6 is okay. That's a couple hybrids, a couple woods, maybe a mini driver. You know?
Yeah.
Honors on the tee.
Don't care. I think it's outdated and doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Talking to somebody else's ball.
Don't do it.
Okay. I'm hoping I can remember that the next time we play. I probably will talk to your ball. calling the putt before it falls. Yeah, we're both against the idea of that.
No. Just dropping the flag stick.
Yeah, you don't need to drop it hard. Just come on.
How about? No, I would say it's fine. Just don't drop it from all the way at the top, you know?
Yeah.
Cargo shorts.
Okay, cargo shorts. No cargo shorts. No really long shorts. No cotton or like chino shorts. You know, let's get some athletic looking apparel. Even if it's knee length, fine, I'll accept it. But if they've got pockets on the side, just throw them away. Don't wear them anywhere.
Yes.
Much less the golf course.
The 90s. God. The 90s are over. Get rid of the damn cargo shorts.
I had some cargo jorts at one point, but that was the 90s. They were awesome.
In the 90s, I had a pair of pants that unzipped and turned into cargo shorts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so did I. Yeah, for like hiking, you know, like if you get too cold or too hot. All right, and let's end on this one because it actually really kind of makes sense to end on this one. Taking your hat off for the post-round handshake.
I still do it. I think it's a respect thing. You see the guys do it on TV. Like,
yeah.
I'm not offended if somebody doesn't do it, but I think you should.
I do want the handshake. I think that's it. I do take off the hat, though I do kind of think people just do it because they do it on TV and they just think they have to. I'm curious where that came from, but I definitely do it in pretty much all cases. So, fun conversation. We love to hear from you guys. I'm sure somebody out there disagrees with some of the things we said. It's been a long week. Jeremy and I are a little worn out, a little delirious. So I'm sure we let a few things slip. But anyway, hope you enjoyed it. This has been Splitting Fairways. Real golfers, real opinions. I am Ryan.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we will catch you next time.